My name is Michael McCusker. Today marks the elapse of the first week of the 32nd annual Women's History Month in the U.S. of A., mandated by both houses of Congress in 1987. Gradually, women are being written back into history, says longtime and beloved teacher of Napa's Hilda Lottie School, Debbie Twombly, who is also a founding member of the Oregon North Oregon Coast Women's History Project and host of KMUN's Skinnamarink. She wrote for the North Coast Times-Eagle in March 1989 that history lessons have basically taught children that women have been invisible in the development of our country. During recent years, women have reached into the past to gain a hold on our roots. The results have been affirmation of our worth and finally of the contribution of our foremothers. And gradually, women are being written back into history. Women's history, she wrote, is the rest of the story. It might seem an unintended irony, but certainly is not a coincidence, that Black History and Women's History Months coincide, and quite providentially might be remarked overlap, because each and both, one an entire human race, the other half the human race, have been regarded as second rate, oppressed, even persecuted as inferior, burned at stakes, and lynched for eons, regarded as slaves and chattel throughout human history in nearly every culture and civilization. As anyone might obviously surmise, Women's History Month USA has a mother, International Women's Day, officially considered to have been conceived 110 years ago in 1909. Gestated essentially as a socialist concept, its midwife, the Socialist Party of America. But it was not recognized until 1975 by the United Nations, which was observing that year as the International Year of the Woman. This 110th anniversary year, a UN statement proclaimed, or conceded, whichever, that, quote, International Women's Day has assumed a new global dimension for women in developed and developing countries alike, and that tomorrow, March 8th, the annual day devoted to women everywhere, is, quote, a time to reflect on progress made, to call for change, and to celebrate acts of courage and determination by ordinary women who have played an extraordinary role in the history of their countries and communities. And that's a UN statement. With that in mind, in realization that the leavening influence of women is most likely the essential key to humanity's future on the planet, despite the grim revival of male-dominated, racist, supremacist, nationalist nativism that threatens imminent dystopian doom, today's program is devoted to an International Women's Conference that was held in Florida, USA, 28 years ago in 1991, and to a remarkable manifesto I have read on this program a few times before, including last year at this time, and printed twice in the North Coast Times-Eagle. Remarkably, it becomes ever more essential as the years pass. More than 500 women from nearly everywhere on Earth who were concerned about the rising incidence of environmental calamities around the world, and that's a quote, and that women were virtually shut out from the upcoming United Nations Earth Summit of 1991, formed the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet, which was co-chaired by former U.S. Congresswoman Bella Abzug. The women who attended the Miami conference, they were there on behalf of those who could not be with us, the millions of women who experience daily the violence of poverty, environmental degradation, and exploitation of their work and bodies due to an economic order that places capital before human and economic well-being. These privileged few, as they called themselves, issued prescriptions as a vitally necessary template to reverse, if possible, the human-caused desecration of the planet before the projected Anthropocene extinction, or the more popular term, massive die-off, of organic species that is ominously predicted to soon be irreversible, which will quite likely include Homo sapiens, our not-so-wise species, a root of species that has fouled most of earthly life's nests, which will be the sixth of such extinctions, most of which were caused by climate changes, but none by an affected species until now. So here is the manifesto of the World Women's Conference for a Healthy Planet, which I have presumptively titled, Women Are the Mothers of Earth. And a quote by Judy Graham, I swear to you on my common woman's head, the common woman is as common as a common loaf of bread and will rise. We believe that a healthy and sustainable environment is contingent upon respect for human rights, participatory democracy, self-determination of peoples, respect for indigenous peoples and their lands, cultures, traditions, and the protection of all species. We believe that basic human rights include access to clean air and water, food, shelter, health, and well-being. These rights are currently denied to millions of people, the overwhelming majority of whom are women. We are deeply troubled by the increasing inequities in the quality of life of those living in industrialized nations and those of the so-called developing nations. We are outraged by the disparity between our children's nutrition, well-being, education, and opportunities for a full and productive life. We condemn the racism and disrespect of diversity on which this inequity feeds. We equate lack of political and individual will among world leaders, the majority of whom are men, with a lack of basic morality and spiritual values, and an absence of responsibility towards future generations. Based on economic growth and ludicrous investments in weaponry, the current development model has wrought human and environmental degradation and destruction. Unbridled consumerism of the industrialized nations leads to unjust exploitation of human and natural resources of poor nations, which results in co-opting governments and the political process for the benefit of the few. We come together to pledge our commitment to the empowerment of women, the central and powerful force in the search for equity between and among the peoples of the earth, and for a balance between them and the life support systems which sustain us all. We appeal to all women and men to join in this call for a profound and immediate transformation in human values and activities. Recognizing that nature is not limited by national sovereignty or boundaries and environmental degradation is global. Observing the worldwide social and environmental consequences of development based solely on economic growth measurements. Recognizing the creative diversity of our culture, class, race, and the ecosystems and political structures within which we live. Believing the world's indigenous peoples have long been denied basic human rights or acknowledgement of their contributions to world culture, and recognizing the interconnectedness of women, the environment, economic policies, development strategies, social justice, and the survival of all species, we will demand full and equal participation for women and men in public policy analysis, government decision-making, implementation, administration, and funding at international and community levels. We urge each other to seek to achieve a critical mass in government and non-governmental policy, making leadership positions, adopting the 60-40 formula. No more than 60% or no less than 40% of either sex as a guide to our empowerment. We demand that all governments comply with the requirements of the Nairobi Forward-Looking Strategies and the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. in full acknowledgement that the industrial nations have been the net beneficiaries of exploitation of the rich resources of the South. Observing the disastrous social, environmental, and economic consequences of international lending practices and current terms of trade between industrialized and non-industrialized nations, and concerned about the negative impact on the poor, especially women, of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank structural adjustment policies. Ashamed by the flow of capital from nations to the banking system of rich nations and recognizing the previous consequences of this practice for poor families in the South and for the natural resources upon which we all depend, we demand immediate official debt forgiveness. We will work for cancellation of commercial debt via mechanisms equivalent to corporate bankruptcy law. We will cease to do business with banks that refuse to reschedule repayments of nations of the South. We will oppose debts for nature exchanges, swaps, which threaten sovereignty, indigenous peoples' rights to lands and self-determination, and which are not subject to wide public debate. We will hold personally accountable those who borrow in the name of their people for the social and environmental consequences of those loans. We call for the rejection of structural adjustment policies, SAPs, which shift responsibility of basic social services from governments to women without compensation or assistance. We call for the dismantling of all unfair protective trade measures used by the North against the South. We call for renegotiation of terms of trade that will ensure an equitable relationship between the price of raw materials and prices of manufactured goods. We demand a total ban on the export of goods rejected for local consumption or destruction in or by the country of origin. We suggest that historic audits of nation states from 1945 onward be conducted to determine the net beneficiaries of rural resource exploitation as assessment of which would serve as the basis to cancel current debt. Recognizing current moral and ethical double standards applied to environment, development, women's participation, and social justice throughout the world, and distress that policy planners and political representatives have such barren instruments, systems of national accounts, on which to make all major economic and environmental decisions, we will work for adoption of an international code of environmental conduct for business and industry, for governments, for UN agencies, and for non-governmental organizations, which will include regulations on biotechnical genetic engineering. We will organize monitoring systems that will hold institutions and states accountable for their actions, products, and policies. We call for reappraisal of national income accounts to reflect the balance between constructive and destructive production. We totally oppose environmental accounting and the commodification of free gifts of nature, quote unquote. We demand time, use studies of women's work, household, cottage industries, subsistence, agriculture, childcare, elder care, volunteer community service. We require governments, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and lending agencies to establish environmental audits with which every proposal must comply before implementation of loans. We will endorse new proposals of international law, including strict liability for environmental harms and non-adversarial dispute resolution mechanisms to compensate victims. Aware that the gross inequities in land tenure and ownership are primary causes of social injustice, poverty of women and their children, homelessness and environmental degradation, and the dispossession of indigenous people, aware that land ownership and control is becoming increasingly polarized, recognizing that current agricultural policies in the North and in the South are uprooting and displacing land-based communities and diverting land from food production to cash crops for exports, and recognizing that many that in many communities, the nutrition of the family is dependent upon women's ability to produce a family and domestic market products, and that because women and children are an estimated 1 billion people in the world who go hungry every day, women's access to food and land tenure and ownership must be regarded as a basic human right. We call on the United Nations, governments, and non-governmental organizations to cease discriminating practices which limit women's access to land and other resources, to increase allocation of resources which enhance food security and provide appropriate technologies which reduce women's work. We will strive to create awareness about the environmental impact of land use technologies guided by immediate profit at the cost of long-term sustainability. We will search for ways to strengthen agricultural research of indigenous foods and conservation of local crop varieties. Concerned by the deterioration of habitats and ecosystems that are home to billions of species with which we share the earth, and realizing the tragic loss of species upon which our interdependent ecosystem depends, recognizing the treasure of plant and animal knowledge which is tended and passed on by indigenous peoples of the world, knowing the attempt of commercial interests of the North to control the natural heritage of species of the South through gene banks, aware genetically engineered organisms released into the environment pose a threat to biodiversity. We call for immediate and direct regulation of research and development in biotechnology. We recommend that the testing and release of organisms be done only in the country of origin, and that biotechnology products which are not yet approved or which are restricted in their country of origin be prohibited from sale elsewhere. We recommend that there be no patenting of life forms to protect against the commercial exploitation of the genetic resources of the South. We will work for a ban on bovine growth hormone and on a boycott of milk products with that hormone. We recommend that new technologies be approved not only on the basis of efficacy and safety, but also their social and economic impacts. We demand that the risks of biotechnology be widely available in clear layperson language. We will support indigenous people in their efforts to protect their natural environment. Believing it is a basic human right to have access to unbiased information about the quality of the environment in which we live, and recognizing the risk that the media may become dominated by forces which perpetuate a worldview that ignores cultural diversity and integrity. Believing that only through wide dissemination of information on environmental and developmental issues will we be able to confront the challenges of environmental decline. Aware that information concerning the environmental health impact of military and industrial byproducts are often classified as secret for national security or proprietary reasons. We demand that the UN monitor all activities of governments that threaten the environment, including space and ocean probing, and make information about such activities known to the world community. We will work to create and strengthen formal and informal systems and exchanges that adhere to the principles of openness and inclusiveness, giving voice to the majority of citizens and reporting on violations of human and environmental rights. We recommend that all countries offer environmental education at the primary and secondary levels, including ecology, consumer education, and permaculture. We will promote environmental ethics education in our schools and in informal learning settings with the purpose of promoting harmony between all living systems and solidarity among peoples. We will strongly support the establishment of a non-governmental organization whose mandate and operation on environmental emergencies and environmental rights would be similar to those of Amnesty International. Knowing that military expenditures, the arms trade, and armed conflict deprive billions of human beings of basic security and well-being, and realizing the disastrous environmental impact of military activity, including research, development, production of weaponry, testing, maneuvers, presence of military bases, disposal of toxic materials, transport and resource use. Aware that research on and use of military weaponry, including chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, contributes significantly to environmental degradation, genetic mutation, illness, and death. Recognizing that militarism often leads to the occupation of lands and the denial of human and environmental rights. We demand nuclear weapons be dismantled and destroyed, and that nuclear testing cease immediately. We demand that space activities and supersonic flight, which threatens the ozone layer or releases carbon dioxide, cease. We urge an immediate 50% reduction in military spending. We demand creation of national civilian commissions with 50% membership of women, which would open to public scrutiny all military activities, expenditures, and research and development. We demand that national armies be converted into environmental protection corps, which would monitor and repair damage to natural systems, including cleanup of military bases, and be available to assist citizens in times of natural and human-made disasters. We condemn governments that turn their armies against their citizens, leading millions of individuals to become refugees and displaced persons. We will educate our daughters and sons to shun military service of governments which use military power to exploit the resources and peoples of other nations. Believing that science and technology should be at the service of the many than for the profit of the few, observing that, on the contrary, it is used to harness nature, contributing to degradation of ecosystems for short-term profit, witnessing the disempowerment of women through lack of access to appropriate and sustainable technology, and disregard for women's experiential knowledge because it is not considered scientific, aware that all too often women have been victims of the misuse of scientific discoveries and inappropriate technologies. We urge the marriage of ethical values with scientific investigation and use, and development of criteria for all technologies concerning their appropriateness for both women and the environment. We demand that all technology transfer should be appropriate and sustainable, with special attention paid to long-term costs and benefits for people and the environment. We will urge support and promote communication strategies for disseminating information on appropriate and inappropriate technologies to women worldwide. We demand resources be made available for research and development of appropriate technologies and training for women. We urge the United Nations and governments to create rural and urban training centers of excellence, North and South, which will serve to disseminate environmentally friendly technologies to women. Realizing that women's purchasing power is a powerful tool for holding the business community accountable for the environmentally friendly quality of their products, and knowing that women can organize swiftly to boycott products or businesses, we will boycott industries whose practices or products anywhere in the world are harmful to the environment or to health. We will promote recycling, reduce consumption of all forms, and purchase only ecologically friendly products. We will engage in campaigns supporting investment in environmentally sound and productive activities. We will reduce per capita energy use by promoting energy-efficient technologies and research, development, and funding of alternative energy sources. Realizing that there may be an attempt to create new institutions to manage the world's ecosystems based on the current economic growth model, and believing that these institutions might not have as primary objective the long-term sustainability of the Earth's species and ecosystems, knowing that new institutions would be costly and that funds would be better spent in repairing damaged ecosystems and providing sustenance to those who live in them, we call for the creation of a permanent United Nations Environmental Commission to serve as ombudsperson, receive individual complaints, monitor compliance, and enforce principles of an international code of environmental ethics. We urge that all states and corporations that produce toxic chemical agents to dispose of their toxic waste within their own borders. We know that the major causes of environmental degradation are economic systems that exploit and misuse nature and people, toxic pollutants, and the waste of industrial and military technologies. We are outraged by the suggestion that women's fertility rates, euphemistically called population pressures, are to blame. Unchallenged, this analysis lays the groundwork for re-emergence of top-down, demographically-driven population policies and programs that are deeply disrespectful of the basic human rights of women. Also, knowing the number of people plus their consumption of resources plus their waste determines their environmental impact, we recognize that a person in the industrialized world has far greater impact than a person living in a less wealthy nation. Aware that the right to reproductive health and choice is a basic human right of all individuals, we point out that the World Fertility Survey estimates that there are 500 million couples who wish to plan their family and have no access to the means to do so. Fearful of the threat to women's lives by the HIV pandemic and recognizing women's ability to protect themselves from sexually transmitted diseases and when and if to have children is prerequisite for women's health, self-determination, and empowerment. We condemn any attempt to deprive women of reproductive freedom or the knowledge to exercise that freedom. We demand women-centered, women-managed, comprehensive reproductive health care and family planning, including the right to prenatal care, safe and legal voluntary contraceptives, and abortion. We urge governments, multilateral, and donor agencies to increase comprehensive reproductive health services and to include men as beneficiaries of family planning and education. We demand that all governments systematically alert their citizens to the danger of AIDS and provide them with the information on how to avoid contamination. Realizing that women and children are particularly vulnerable to cancer-causing toxic chemicals, radiation, and nuclear wastes, we demand that research be undertaken on women's and children's susceptibility to cancer-causing agents and that remedial action be taken to eliminate such agents from all environments. We ask the World Health Organization, the Food and Agricultural Organization, the International Labor Organization, national governments, public health groups, and corporations increase their efforts to eliminate environmental occupational hazards in factories, offices, and on the land. And that was, as I have called it, Women Are the Mothers of Earth, by the Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet. This is Michael McCusker. Happy International Women's Day tomorrow, March 8th, and the beginning of the KMUN Spring Pledge Drive. So pledge, pledge, pledge. Pledge allegiance to KMUN, Public Radio Free North Coast Radio. So call 503-325-0010.